Chapter 31. Dear Buck. Mrs. Ellis was still somewhat reluctant to accept Buck's offer of employment until Luther turned on the charm. Richie, on the other hand, was ready as soon as Buck mentioned that if he and his mother stayed, Buck would buy him a pony to ride to school and run errands. They all quickly settled into the farm life routine. It felt good to be back working the place. As the boss, Buck could take off any time he pleased. This he did most often with Richie at his side. With his mother's permission, Buck took him hunting and fishing. They raced on horseback and on foot. Buck was getting to act as if he was a kid again, and it felt good. His hard life had taken most of his own childhood. Luther and Mrs. Ellis ran the farm as if the place was their own. Both were shrewd business people, turning a profit at any venture they set their minds to. They encouraged Buck to start raising hogs for market and to start a small dairy herd. Luther convinced Buck to plant the knoll around the cemetery with apple trees. Buck's mother would have been pleased. She always loved the sweet smell of apple blossoms. Buck often tried to get Luther to go to the tavern with him for a beer, but he always had something he had to do for Iris. It took Buck 2 months to find out that that was Miss Ellis's first name. Luther had known it from the first day they met. After a year of being around each other every day, Luther and Iris fell in love. Buck thought Luther was in love from the start. Buck gave them the biggest wedding the town had ever seen. A small band was brought in from the county seat to play the wedding march. Then Buck sent them to New York for their honeymoon. Both protested the trip as a waste of good money, but Buck wanted them out of the way. He surprised them with a new house of their own when they returned. He knew that married folks needed their privacy. Buck also deeded the acre of land around the house to them. This was merely a formality. The whole farm was as much theirs as his. Still, a man needs a place he can call his own. Richie spent nearly all of his free time in the evenings with Buck. This gave his mother and Luther some time to themselves and Buck some much-needed company. The big house seemed empty with Luther and Iris gone. Seeing how happy they were made Buck wish that he had someone. Thought often of Allison. If her mother had not been the way she was, perhaps Allison would be with him now. Nevertheless, wishing does not make things happen. He had made a costly mistake. Now he had to pay the price. A few selfish hours of pleasure had cost him the chance for a lifetime of happiness. He thought once about going to Boston to see Mr. Winthrop in hopes of maybe bumping into Luke and Allison again. This, however, would only be tormenting himself for no good reason. Allison hated him for what he had done to her father. Who could blame her? Buck would have to be satisfied with what he had and quit feeling sorry for himself for things he didn't have. Most folks would love to be in his position. Another year passed. Buck had busied himself with the farm to the point that his longings for Allison had all but disappeared. With Luther's and Iris's help, they more than doubled his acreage. The livestock reproduced well, and they added several hundred chickens. Richie quickly outgrew his pony and had to start riding a horse to school. Richie tried to talk his mother and Luther into letting him quit, but they would not hear of it. He appealed to Buck, but he told him that he had no say in the matter. The four of them were having their noon meal in the big house dining room one summer day when a stranger in a dark dress coat came to the door. Mr. Anderson had brought the man from town in his wagon. He was a Boston lawyer representing the estate of the late Charles Winthrop. He gave Buck a letter and a check for $5,000. After Buck signed a release, the man left without telling them much, other than the fact that the old man had died, leaving Buck this money. Buck sat on the front steps and opened the letter. It read as follows.
Dear Buck, I know you will not want to take this money, but do this dying old man one last favor. The doctors tell me I have but a short time left on this earth. I cannot go to my maker without thanking you one last time for my son's lives. Knowing how stubborn you can be, I have instructed my attorney not to give you this until I'm gone. Gratefully yours, Charles P. Winthrop.
The old man sure had a flair for the dramatic. Buck had to give him that. Nevertheless, it did not feel right to accept this generous gift. All Buck had done was try to survive. The fact that Mr. Winthrop's sons had benefited from Buck's actions was purely coincidental. He knew the old guy meant well, but keeping this money was out of the question. If he had needed it, then it would have been a different story. Buck was not Winthrop rich, but in his local area, folks considered him a wealthy man. Buck took the check inside and showed it to the others. They all told him to keep the money, but he simply could not. He told them to look after things for a spell. He felt he had to go to Boston to give the check back to Mr. Winthrop's widow. Sunup found him on a train heading east. Richie wanted to tag along, but Buck told him that he was needed more on the farm. What Buck wanted was some time alone. He'd been a good boy for a long time now and might just get into a little mischief while away. As he recalled, Boston had some fine-looking women. Buck had pretty much exhausted the local supply of the fairer sex. A man needs a change of scenery now and then.